You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today we are recapping the Bears' Week 17 win over the Minnesota Vikings and looking ahead to the playoffs. We'll start with a quick conversation between me and Matt Williamson from Locked On NFL. Then we'll turn our attention to some deeper dives into the biggest players from Sunday's win, looking at Jordan Howard, the Bears' defensive line, etc. And then we'll wrap up with a look at the playoff picture. What could be next after the Philadelphia Eagles, and how the injuries from Week 17 could play into next Sunday's matchup. Let's start with Mr. Matt Williamson. He's the host of Locked On NFL here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and he had me on his podcast Sunday to break down the Bears' win over the Vikings and start to kind of look ahead here. So we did more of a general overview of some quick Bears topics, some big picture stuff from the game, so I thought it would be good to start there, and then we'll look a little bit more in-depth at some of the key players and moments from the Week 17 victory.
So we are leading off with my man, Lauren Cox, with the Bears. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I've been better, I got to say, with my Steeler affiliation, but you were on the other side of that today. I mean, Steelers and Vikes fans are bummed. They're on the outside looking in. Both had uneven seasons, but your Monsters of the Midway were the big bad wolf that kicked them out.
Yeah, and they're really kind of coming together in that old-time Chicago Bears look. Like, this was the game. Jordan Howard breaks out for another 100-yard performance. The defense, obviously, one of the best in the NFL. It really looked like good old-fashioned Chicago Bears defense, and it almost feels a little bit like 2006 with everything kind of going around the quarterback so well.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And it's funny, like, going into this game, I read a lot of places, hey, who knows how the Bears are going to handle it. And on my show on Friday, I thought, man, I think the Bears clearly want to win. I mean, even if the Rams get out to a huge lead, I still think it's pedal to the metal. Show this division that you're the team to beat. Eliminate everybody else. You know, it's been a rough quite a few years in Chicago. And just show the world that this is who you want. And obviously you guys handled the Vikings without much problems. But going into today, I thought I would rather play the Eagles than the Vikes if I were the Bears too.
Yeah, I think going into today, that was kind of the feeling, especially with Nick Foles under center, although even now he's got a rib injury. I'm sure you'll get more on that with Locked On Eagles later on. But, you know, as the game went on, I think you had Bears fans more and more wanting, okay, yeah, would they be fine playing this Vikings team again in another week? I mean, the Bears were able to pretty well dominate in the trenches on both sides of the ball and really kind of do what they wanted. Even once they started to put some backups in the fourth quarter, most of the backup defense was out there, and Kirk Cousins and company still couldn't really get much going, couldn't get much push on the offensive line in the running game or in pass protection. And it just kind of felt like an extremely one-sided game, and one that I'm sure Bears fans would really like to do again.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be kind of fun to, hey, come on back here next week. Well, see how that goes for you. That probably would sound pretty tasty right now, especially a division rival. I mean, one thing I mentioned on Friday too was, yeah, I think it's pretty clear that with the offensive coordinator change in Minnesota, they want to run the ball. That complements a great defense well. That's all terrific, but that O-line is a problem in Minnesota, and it's a real problem when they line up against, you know, the Bears front.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to blame any one party there, and I know Kirk Cousins is getting, you've just been getting railed the last couple weeks for, you know, obviously the big contract and disappointing based on kind of expectations, but, you know, he still plays an efficient game. He does, they took care of the ball. They didn't really give the Bears any turnovers, but when he's getting hit after every other throw and the pressure's forcing him to get rid of the ball quickly, he had to rely on a lot of dump-offs and try and let receivers make plays after the catch, which is pretty much exactly what the Bears defense wants you to do. So when you can't run the ball, you don't have enough time to throw downfield. It kind of feels like Kirk Cousins is doing just about everything he can, and that's just not enough.
No, well said. I mean, I'm sure he'll take way too much heat, and I'm seeing it all over Twitter now. Ah, look what you bought for all those millions of dollars. But, I mean, if no one's blocking for you, best of luck. You mentioned that they won in the trenches. And I think Howard is not the flashiest back around, but he's very efficient. He's a certain type of runner. And I think that the coaching staff understands that really well. But tell me what you think of the Bears' offensive line. That group seems to be overlooked, and I like them.
Yeah, they're a group that's gotten better as the year went on, especially in the running game. You know, early on, I thought that was the biggest issue for Jordan Howard. There was a lot of doubts about, you know, his role in this offense, and he really wasn't producing early in the season. And I felt like the offensive line in the running game was the biggest problem with all that. Just, you know, he's a guy that's really good at setting up his blocks and making the most out of every run, but there just wasn't a lot of space for him early in the year. But I think they've really evolved in that direction as the year's gone on. I think Harry Heaston is finally kind of, you know, as the year went on, being able to hammer that message home and have guys really get a little bit more comfortable. I know Matt Nagy has done some different things schematically than Howard was used to. He was always more that inside zone runner. They've been mixing early in the season, they mixed in a lot more power and counter and different gap scheme runs. But it feels like as of late, they've gone back to a little bit more zone to get him a little bit more comfortable and this offensive line to be more comfortable because they were the zone blocking offensive line in years past as well. So I just think you're seeing, you know, not only the offensive line get more comfortable, Howard get more comfortable, but even Matt Nagy get more comfortable as a play caller. And I think you're finally kind of seeing everything come together here right as the postseason is around the corner.
Do you think Trubisky's more comfortable?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You're seeing growth in key areas, and it's not all put together yet, but obviously high completion percentage in recent games. And what he's gotten a lot better at is recognizing and attacking the blitz early on in the season. You know, like the Cardinals, Seahawks, and even the Packers in week one, they'd put a bunch of guys at the line of scrimmage, and Trubisky would panic. He'd throw up ducks. He'd throw it in the dirt, and the accuracy completely tailed off. But as the year's gone on, he's more confident, and he isn't scared by, you know, anything at that pre-snap looks and able to kind of diagnose it quickly and at least find the dump off, at least find the hot route more consistently than he could before. There's still times when he's trying to do a little bit too much, or maybe he gets a little bit too excited on a play and doesn't step into it properly and, you know, misses throws he still needs to make. But the growth has definitely been there. It's just a matter of, okay, how far can he actually take them in the playoffs? He can get them to the playoffs. Can he carry them to the big game? That's the real question right now.
Sure. And he's still very, very young and hasn't started all that many football games in his life, to be honest with you. So let's look forward a little bit. First off, was there any injuries of note? And it looks like, I mean, do you think Eddie Jackson's back for next week?
Yeah, so the Bears actually, they've been one of the most healthy teams in the NFL this season, but against the Vikings, they started racking up. So Allen Robinson sat out with a rib injury, Eddie Jackson had an ankle injury as well, and then during the game, Taylor Gabriel, their top receiver with Robinson out, he left, and I can't remember for the life of me what his injury was. Then Anthony Miller, their rookie, their number three receiver, his shoulder looked to pop out of its socket again. It's something he's dealt with kind of throughout the season, and they've popped it back in multiple times in the same game before, but they just took him out and held him out in this one. So he was able to kind of get some time off. Leonard Floyd left the game as well, and I think it was a lower body injury, but whether it was knee or ankle, I don't remember for sure. So all of a sudden in Week 17, those kind of minor injuries popped up, and the Bears weren't going to push him back out there, so they left everyone out. And now there's some perhaps uneasiness about that moving forward, but generally speaking, I think they're feeling okay at this point and looking ahead to staying pretty healthy still starting the playoffs.
Yeah, comparatively speaking, I mean the whole league is banged up. It's you know, almost the new year, and that's just the way things go. Let's wrap it up with just give me, I don't know how much thought you've given to it, and I don't even know who the Eagles quarterback's going to be. We'll find out more on that probably in the next couple minutes here, hopefully. But what's your initial thoughts with Philadelphia coming to town next week?
You know, it feels similar to kind of what happened with the Vikings today, that, you know, whether it's Nick Foles or Nate Sudfeld, they first and foremost have to take care of the football. I mean, if you know, that's what Kirk Cousins was able to do pretty effectively in this game, and they still needed more, but it would have been much, much worse if there had been a turnover or two mixed in with that, you know, lack of downfield throwing ability. So it starts with taking care of the ball. If the Eagles can use their offensive line that's much more talented than the Vikings and maybe get a little bit of running game going to at least keep this defense a little bit more honest and stay out of those situations where you're down by three scores and have to pass, and that allows Khalil Mack to pin his ears back and Leonard Floyd too. You know, those are kind of the big things, is, you know, taking care of the ball and at least giving the Bears a couple different things to prepare for. And then lastly, the Bears have been phenomenal in the red zone in both offensively and defensively. So if the Eagles can kind of avoid settling for field goals and actually convert some touchdowns there, I think they'd have a real shot in this game, but I'm not necessarily confident that Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld are the guys to necessarily get that done.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I really like the Bears' chances here, and I even think they could create some big plays against those corners. I think they'll be able to block them up pretty well. I haven't given a lot of thought yet myself, but we will throughout the rest of the week, of course, here on the Locked On NFL podcast. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks, Matt. And you know, you're right. There should be plenty of opportunities for the Bears to make some big plays against these Eagles cornerbacks, which I think is part of why the Bears opened up as 5.5-point favorites over the Eagles on mybookie.ag. And I know you guys have heard me talking about this for weeks, but some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. They've been in this business for years, they've got great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. Sign up this week and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win big. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter because they personally respond to every message and DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers just this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get your 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Well, the Bears played hard and won against the Minnesota Vikings in Week 17. So up next, we'll dive in a little bit deeper to look at Jordan Howard's big day and a really strong showing from this Bears defensive line. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Bears here coming off of the Bears' Week 17 win over the Minnesota Vikings. This team is hot heading into the playoffs to take on the Philadelphia Eagles next week, and that's a matchup we're going to get into more in a minute. But first, I want to go back in depth a little bit on a couple of key players from this Bears victory, and I want to start with Jordan Howard, really hitting his stride at a great time here with the start of the playoffs right around the corner. And you think of playoff football in Chicago, it's running the ball and it's defense. And the defense has been there all season. The running the ball has been up and down, but they're ending the season on a high note, ending the season on that up, and just a strong performance from Jordan Howard. Give the offensive line credit for being able to create some wiggle room for him in there, but to me this felt like more of a big Jordan Howard game than a big offensive line game. The Bears were winning in the trenches pretty consistently, but you weren't necessarily seeing them drive guys 10 yards downfield. It was more just creating enough space, pushing that line of scrimmage 2 or 3 yards back, and Jordan Howard being able to sneak through and take full advantage of every opportunity that was given to him. And obviously, a big chunk of that comes in the first quarter on that breakaway 42-yard run up the right side of the field, doing a great job of making a guy miss in the hole, kind of breaking off the tackle and then making Harrison Smith look silly back on the second or third level, really, by the time he got back there. I mean, that's a nice added bonus on top, but he ran well for most of the game, and it wasn't all directly up the middle. You know, he was able to cut outside a little bit here and there. I mean, not Tariq Cohen style, but still not just pounding it over and over again, you know, lowering his head up the middle. There was some movement there. There was some great feel for setting up his blocks, feeling where the missing gap was going to be defensively, because the Vikings weren't doing a very good job of consistently filling where the running back was going to be. And it was important to be able to take some of that pressure off of Mitchell Trubisky. That, you know, Trubisky can throw for 163 yards, no touchdowns, and the Bears offense scores 24 points and is rolling just fine without, you know, a phenomenal game from Trubisky. He took care of the football, he hit a couple of shots downfield, and ultimately did enough for this offense. Wasn't a bad performance, wasn't a great performance. It was just a game well managed by a young quarterback because his running back and his defense were able to play so consistently. And I think the biggest part of that consistent defense really was this defensive line and that front three interior of Hicks, Goldman, and Bilal Nichols, who, the last of which, the rookie, really, I think, flew under the radar with a big performance in this game. Like, you think about Akeem Hicks reaching the quarterback twice. He got a sack and a half and made a couple of nice tackles. I think it was one tackle for loss, but involved in a few different short tackles for little to no gain on the running back. Eddie Goldman getting back there with a nice sack early on, and just another consistent, solid performance from him. But Bilal Nichols quietly led this team in pressures in the game. PFF had him with a sack, two hits, and four quarterback hurries. Really effective pass rushing up the middle, especially after Akeem Hicks kind of got taken out as the game went on, and Eddie Goldman didn't actually end up playing all that many snaps. But you look at this interior of the Vikings offensive line. Pat Elflein really struggled. Mike Remmers at right guard, not much better. Tom Compton, the former Chicago Bear himself, really having a lot of trouble with this defensive line. And it was this Bears defensive line that set the tone. You know, Khalil Mack, a little bit on the quiet side. You know, he was getting pressure but never really got home, and you know, didn't make any big plays in the running game. Just, you know, a closer to average Khalil Mack performance. And same with Leonard Floyd, you know, some pressure and had some nice tackles in the game. I think he actually led the team in tackles, which was surprising, but not making any huge plays that stood out. But this was really a defensive line game, and that should build a lot of confidence here moving forward. When you think about Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack and really your outside linebackers not contributing a whole lot for four quarters, but this defensive line absolutely picked up the slack, absolutely set the tone, dominated in the trenches like we talked about earlier, and didn't allow this Vikings offensive line to get anything. I mean, you even think after they took out all the starters, and it was, you know, Nichols and Roy Robertson Harris and Jonathan Bullard, they were still getting after the quarterback. They were still shutting down the running game, even without Kylie Fitz or Isaiah Irving doing much of anything. The depth of this Bears defensive line is incredible. They play so well. They get good performances out of all these guys. It just seems like, you know, whether it's the rookie sixth-round pick or the former third-round pick, I mean, they can take Akeem Hicks out, they can take Eddie Goldman out and still be able to get some decent pressure like that. Really makes the defensive line coach Jay Rogers look good. And I have to think, if Vic Fangio goes on to be a head coach for another team, it's a real possibility. Jay Rogers, the defensive line coach, might be the in-house favorite. I mean, it's he or Ed Donatell, the defensive backs coach. I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but those two guys are phenomenal assistant coaches, and they would be right at the top of my short list if you're going to have to replace Vic Fangio. But don't worry, the Bears still get Vic Fangio for the rest of the playoffs at the very least, most likely even more beyond that. And they're going to need Fangio's defense to step up for all the teams they're going to face for the rest of the postseason. We'll get into each of those future matchups up next on Locked On Bears. Today on Locked On Bears, we're recapping the Bears' win over the Vikings, and I don't mean to gloss over it by any means, but in some sense, it turned out to be a little bit more of a meaningless game in the sense that the win didn't impact their playoff standings, but still an important win for the team to maintain that momentum, to really feel dominant as the regular season ends and as they roll into the playoffs. And they roll into the playoffs back to Soldier Field to host the 9-7 Philadelphia Eagles. And it's going to be an interesting kind of matchup to watch as the week goes on because, well, the Eagles right now aren't sure who their quarterback is going to be next week, and it does make for a number of interesting storylines here. There's also the Alshon Jeffery returns to Chicago storyline. He versus Kyle Fuller is really going to be a fun matchup, and we're going to go much, much more in-depth later this week with the host of Locked On Eagles coming onto the podcast, as always, for our crossover Wednesday. But the Eagles are a very banged-up team, and the Bears weren't for the majority of the season, but all of a sudden, you come into the wild card weekend, and Week 17 leads to a lot of injuries versus the Vikings. Of course, Allen Robinson, Eddie Jackson, and Aaron Lynch all sit out for the game with injuries they suffered a couple weeks ago, and, you know, that's fine. They're all expected to potentially come back. But then, during the game, of course, Taylor Gabriel leaves with a shoulder injury. Anthony Miller leaves with a shoulder injury, so that's why we got the Javon Wims and Kevin White show for the majority of the time. But, you know, you also have Leonard Floyd leave temporarily, and he was able to come back, but, you know, you never like to gain or add those nagging injuries at this time of the year. And I believe even Adam Shaheen was seen on the sidelines kind of working on some stuff with some trainers. So, it's something to monitor, particularly at the wide receiver position, especially if Allen Robinson isn't as close to coming back, because you do not want to have to rely on your number four and five wide receivers so much when it comes to the actual playoff time. You're probably going to need more than 163 yards to Mitchell Trubisky to beat these Philadelphia Eagles. It's not that the Philadelphia Eagles are necessarily worlds better than the Minnesota Vikings, but there's just something different about playoff football. Teams, especially experienced Super Bowl winning teams like the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to come to play despite the injuries in their secondary that's left them potentially vulnerable to some big plays, and really in spite the injuries at the quarterback position. Because again, you think on paper, Nick Foles coming to Chicago to play this Bears defense doesn't really scare you that much, but this was the same situation they were in last year. Carson Wentz gets hurt at the end of the year. No one thinks Nick Foles can really carry them beyond a playoff appearance, and a few games later, they're in the Super Bowl. But of course, now Nick Foles has the rib injury of his own, so it could be Nate Sudfeld, the former late-round pick out of Indiana, and he does not scare me at all and should not scare you at all. I mean, a third-string quarterback in the NFL is not someone who should scare you. And even Nick Foles, to some extent, I'm not necessarily buying that this Philadelphia Eagles team has the same juice. So you start to even look beyond the Eagles a little bit, and the Bears are guaranteed that with a win, they would play the Los Angeles Rams. So that would be the rematch. A little bit over the horizon here, not to get too far ahead, but it's Eagles and Rams before the NFC Championship game, and I'll tell you what, it is exciting. I hope you're excited for what's next for the postseason-bound Chicago Bears. Hope you'll keep up with all of the excitement here on Locked On Bears. Plenty of more daily Chicago Bears news and analysis coming your way. And the best way to keep up with all of it is to hit that subscribe button on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. I guarantee we are on there. And if we're not on there, then let us know on Twitter at Locked On Bears, and we will for sure get it on every podcast platform possible. But I'm pretty sure we've already got us about as far as we can possibly be distributed up to this point. You can also find even more daily Bears news and analysis in the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and search Locked On Bears group and join in with your fellow diehard listeners of this podcast, especially on game day. We were really flowing on Sunday, and we'll get the conversation going all this week as we monitor Nick Foles, as we monitor these Bears injury situations and all the head coaching changes that are going to be happening all around the NFL. It's all there in the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Like I said, we'll be back with more in-depth Philadelphia Eagles analysis to get you all set for the first playoff game for the Chicago Bears in 8 years. To me, that is as good enough of a reason as any to bear down.